On the evening of December 21st, 2019, in Baltimore, Maryland, police were dispatched to the Madame D Beauty Bar located on 241 North Milton Avenue. Inside the shop, officers found the shop's owner, 21-year-old Destiny Harrison. She had been shot and she was unresponsive. Destiny was taken to a nearby hospital but was pronounced dead shortly after arrival. Destiny's story quickly spread across social media and received a good amount of news coverage, but it's been a little bit over a month now, and there's been no justice for Destiny. Hi, I'm your host Gigi, and this is Noir True Crime Files. I first want to give credit to the sources that I used for this week's episode. Thanks to YouTuber and social commentator Paris Milan, I was able to get background information on Destiny. Other information regarding her case and talking points that I'll be referencing throughout the episode were pulled from articles that I read in the Baltimore Sun. All sources will be linked in the show notes. Destiny Harrison was born on April 16, 1998, and was a native of Baltimore. When she was a child, Destiny's mother, Raquel, noticed that she had an interest in doing hair, and so she encouraged Destiny as she was getting older to pursue it as a career. Destiny attended Mergenthaler Vocational Technical High School, and according to the school's Wikipedia page, it is one of two premier vocational technical schools in Baltimore. The other being Carver Vocational Technical High School. Mergenthaler offers various trade courses such as auto body and repair, graphic arts and printing, and accounting and finance. Destiny applied and selected cosmetology as her course of study. Over the next few years, Destiny worked various fast food jobs and did hair on the side to make extra money. Despite her busy schedule, Destiny managed to make good grades and she graduated in 2016. Destiny went on to Bowie State University for 2 years, where she majored in business administration with a minor in fashion design. By this time, Destiny's career as a hairstylist was taking off. Thanks to recommendations from girls in her area and her likable personality, Destiny had grown a steady clientele. The fact that so many people trusted her, liked her work, and supported her was a true indication of how good Destiny was at her craft. Destiny became a licensed cosmetologist at the age of 18 and opened several businesses. First, there was Bougie Bowie Styles, Glitz and Glam Studio, and The Hair Trap. Even with multiple businesses, Destiny still held a part-time job at Victoria's Secret. In 2017, Destiny launched an online store called Madame D Boutique, which was her biggest business venture to date. The online boutique sold eyelashes, bonnets, hair bundles, wigs, and hair care products. Destiny also started to raise her social profile when she was seen hanging out with other celebrity stylists and even styled the hair of well-known reality stars. In March 2018, Destiny learned that she was pregnant, and in September, she gave birth to her daughter, Dream. Destiny was excited to be a new mom, but she had to adjust to the new responsibilities in her life, which meant she often brought Dream to work with her. Motherhood did not slow Destiny down, though, because in February of 2019, she opened the physical Madame D Beauty Bar Shop and expanded her services to lash extensions, eyebrows, and hair care. Things were going really well for Destiny around this time. Her daughter Dream was healthy and happy, she was saving to buy a home, and the shop was a success. Destiny had even bought herself a new car, a red Mercedes-Benz. So with all the good that was happening in Destiny's life, it's hard to comprehend why someone walked into her shop and took her life. According to several news reports, Destiny, Baby Dream, and other individuals were inside the shop when someone came in and shot Destiny in the head. Everyone who was in the shop ran out, leaving Dream behind. Destiny's identity wasn't released to the public until the following Monday, but word spread quickly throughout Baltimore about her death. Many people were hurt, outraged, and shocked that a talented, hardworking, and determined young woman was not only murdered, but that it had taken place inside the very business that she'd worked so hard to build. It wouldn't take Baltimore police long to find a possible motive in Destiny's case. It turns out, in days leading up to her death, Destiny had actually been in fear for her life. On December 10, 2019, Destiny filed assault, theft, and burglary charges against a man named Glenn Keller and his girlfriend Denia Dobbins. Destiny also filed for an order of protection 2 days before her murder, and in a written complaint, she claimed that she had caught the couple in her shop on December 9th stealing merchandise. Destiny goes on to say that when she confronted the couple, they jumped her and ran away with $3,000 worth of hair bundles. Destiny described the incident in her written complaint, saying, quote, "I walked in the back and I seen blank standing near the door, and I seen his girlfriend holding a bucket while he blocks the door. The bucket had my hair bundles I sell. Blank proceeds to swing. While she's swinging, blank grabs me and holds me down so blank can finish hitting me and stomp me. They then ran. I'm sure they picked the lock to the door, and I'm scared for my life and business. I believe they did it because they were evicted for not paying rent. After the robbery and assault, Destiny continued to go to work, but she had become uncomfortable at her shop. She was finding it difficult to work and was scared that she would get attacked or robbed again." Court records show that Destiny, Keller, and Dobbins were scheduled to appear in court this month, but the status of the case is now listed as closed. In Paris Milan's video on this case, I learned that Dobbins is also a hairstylist and makeup artist with her own company and is currently several months pregnant. Milan also discussed possible motives, one being that Dobbins may have been involved in the burglary because she was lacking inventory since her business website is inactive. When I went to Dobbins' Instagram, however, her bio states that her company is in the middle of a rebrand and is relaunching this year. The other motive Milan mentioned was that Destiny called out the couple for stealing from her in order to avoid getting evicted. When news of Destiny's order of protection was made public, many people began to suspect that her death was in retaliation for snitching on the couple. Since Keller and Dobbins' names were not released in news reports, people who knew them or had searched their names online began naming them in social media posts, publicly calling them out for their alleged involvement in Destiny's murder. As of this recording, neither Keller nor Dobbins have been arrested or charged in connection to Destiny's murder. The day after Christmas, Destiny's friends and family joined together for a candlelight vigil outside of the Madame D Beauty Bar. Holding pink and white balloons, the group prayed together, sang songs, and shared memories of Destiny. During the vigil, Raquel Harrison spoke about how she was going to teach her granddaughter Dream about how driven, creative, and hardworking Destiny was. She also pleaded with the crowd that if anyone knew anything, that they should come forward. She continued to speak out against no snitching culture, saying that people needed to be held accountable for what happened to Destiny. Members of Destiny's family spoke to the media during the vigil, including her younger sister, Christian Harrison. Speaking to Phil Davis of the Baltimore Sun, Christian fondly remembered Destiny for always encouraging her and teaching her to be self-driven. Through tears, Christian admitted that she kept replaying December 21st in her head over and over, that maybe if she had been with Destiny, she could have helped her, or that things could have gone differently. Davis also spoke to Destiny's cousin, Shelley Williams, who remembered Destiny for having a good heart and that she was very family-oriented. At the end of the vigil, the crowd released their balloons into the sky, shouting, "Rest in peace, Destiny." The day after Destiny's murder, her mother created a GoFundMe account in order to raise money for her funeral expenses. Several days later, on December 26th, professional boxer Gervonta Davis, who is also from Baltimore, retweeted a post about Destiny and offered to cover all of the expenses for her funeral. Destiny's family accepted the kind gesture, and on December 28th, she was laid to rest. According to data that was collected by the Baltimore Sun, 2019 was the second deadliest year on record for Baltimore, with approximately 348 homicides. For the last 5 years, the city has reported over 300 deaths each year and set a new record for homicide per capita. 1993 still has the highest number of murders on record with 353 murders, but the difference is that there were 100,000 more people living in Baltimore at the time. Currently, Baltimore has a population of 600,000, and per 100,000 people, 57 are killed. In an article that I read in the Associated Press, they attributed the rise in violence to different things like illegal gun possession, the opioid epidemic, lack of decent jobs, social inequality, and political incompetence. The article also points out Baltimore police's hands-off approach since the death of Freddie Gray in April 2015. Gray, a 25-year-old black man, was arrested by Baltimore officers for knife possession, but while he was in their custody, he fell into a coma and died several days later. Gray's death sparked outrage, which led to protests and riots. After the medical examiner ruled that Gray's death was indeed a homicide, all six officers in his case were arrested and charged for his murder. Each officer was tried separately, but were all eventually acquitted. There had been several other tragic deaths in the same week as Destiny's. In a 24-hour period starting on December 17th, 10 people were shot and three of those victims died. One of those victims was a man named Sean Davis, a 33-year-old auto body shop owner. Davis, who also went by the nickname Laid Back Jack, was gunned down outside of his business. 2 days before his death, Davis had been trying to organize a toy drive for Baltimore children who had lost their parents to gun violence. He left behind two children of his own, and his killer has yet to be caught. On the evening of December 22nd, 36-year-old Carmen Rodriguez was shot and killed inside of Kim Deli and Grocery on North Kenwood Avenue. Rodriguez, who was a co-manager of the deli alongside her husband, was murdered in front of her four children, one of them only a newborn. Davis and Rodriguez's funerals were also held on the same day as Destiny's. About 2 weeks after Rodriguez's death, police released video footage of a masked suspect and another person of interest who were seen driving away from the deli after the murder. The next day, 29-year-old Terrence Peterson turned himself into police and was charged with first-degree murder. Police are still searching for the other suspect, and there is a $5,000 reward being offered through the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives for information regarding that person's whereabouts. In response to the increase in violence in Baltimore, Police Commissioner Michael Harrison released both a crime reduction plan and a 5-year strategic plan this past July. The plans were meant to improve the department, its structure, and performance levels, but he's faced criticism from the police union because they consider his leadership to be inadequate. The union's president, Sergeant Mike Mancuso, believes Harrison's department is slow to act and that the city needs, quote, a leader to protect the citizens of Baltimore today, end quote, and that Harrison's plans won't immediately reduce the crime rate. When Destiny filed her complaint against Keller and Dobbins, she should have been given a police escort or at least had someone surveilling her shop. Unfortunately, there's currently a shortage in Baltimore officers, and they are also being forced to work overtime. As much as immediate change would be nice to see, it's clearly going to take time, cooperation, and partnership in order to see any real difference in the situation. This recording, there haven't been any further details given about Destiny's murder, and police are still asking the public for anyone with information to come forward. In recent weeks, Destiny's mother Raquel has posted on her Instagram for the other individuals who were in the shop when Destiny was killed to come forward, and she even posted a picture of Dobbins calling her out for her alleged involvement in Destiny's murder. Just a few days ago, Dobbins took to her own Instagram to defend herself, saying that she never attacked Destiny. She even posted a private text conversation between her and Raquel. I need to clarify that Keller and Dobbins lived in the apartment above Destiny's shop, which is not mentioned in any news reports, but is clearly shown on the public court records from the charges that Destiny filed against them. Dobbins believes that Destiny made up the story about being attacked so that she could take over the upstairs apartment to open up a nail salon. Dobbins also accuses Raquel of stealing packages from her. Honestly, this is such a messy and unfortunate situation. If Keller and Dobbins were falsely accused, then they deserve to have their names cleared. Either way, whoever is responsible for Destiny's murder is still out there, and there's a chance that they can be brought to justice. If you have any information on Destiny's case, please call Baltimore Police at 410-396-2100 or Metro Crime Stoppers at 1-866-7-LOCKUP. There's a $4,000 reward in this case. Thank you guys so much for joining me on another episode of Noir True Crime Files. If you want to share your thoughts, theories, and overall opinions about this case, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter and Instagram at NTCF Podcasts. The show is available on all major streaming platforms, and as I mentioned earlier in the episode, all resources that were used in this episode will be linked in the show notes. I'll be back next week with a new crime file. Until then, goodbye for now.